As they come forward, I see there's not too many seats left. Maybe you guys took me up on my pizza challenge. Some of you are saying, what is he talking about? And I said, you will get tired of me hearing me saying this, so let me bother you once again. I went down and bought two slices of pizza at the Speedway because of the one gal who said, we're having our deal, you'll get a bonus, we'll get a bonus, we need to meet our quota of pizza. And I got so tired of hearing about her pizza, I went in there the other night, because it's still open, even though they don't sell gas, I stopped by, and I bought two slices of pizza. I got to the counter, I thought, good, you've met your quota, I bought my pizza. And no, that wasn't enough. The guy standing there, and you may recognize him, you can't miss him, he said, hey, bro, how you doing? Dude, would you like to buy some M&Ms? And I said, I don't want any M&Ms. I'm buying pizza. He goes, we got to make our quota. Since they took our gas pumps out, we're having slow sales. We made our pizza sales. Now, bro, dude, we have to have M&Ms. I said, I don't want M&Ms. I've got two slices of pizza. He goes, no, bro. I said, no, bro, I don't want M&Ms. And he says, but if you buy them, you'll get 1,000 points on your reward card. I said, I don't want M&Ms. He said, we're running the sale all month. Tell your friends. And I thought, here we go again. They're selling pizza. I finally bought it to shut them up. Now they have M&Ms that melt in your mouth and not in your hands. And here are the M&Ms. Thank you. Somebody bought them. If they can push M&Ms and pizzas to make a quota, I have souls and families and lives that need to be changed. I have a quota by December 4th. I'd love to see 500 people attending Grace Ministry. That means everyone, reach one. So here it is. We have a deal going on at Grace Ministry Center. I want you to meet your quota. Listen, if they can do it and bother me half to death about a slice of pizza, I'll tell you what, for souls in heaven, we can do a whole lot better. So here it is. December 4th is Friend Day. Bring a friend. We're probably going to end up with two services, but that's fine. But I'm telling you, let's meet our quota, because if they can do something that'll melt in your mouth and not in your hands, then we can certainly do something for people's souls who won't melt in heaven. We can do something for people. So there it is. Thanks, brother. God bless you. I'll enjoy those later with you at staff meeting. Today we're talking about in the beginning. Let's not miss the first part of the story. It's the first verse of the entire chapter. It's the story. We got a great video for you. Let's pray for these offerings that we might be blessed. Father, we are now going to lift up to you in worship our tithes and offerings, trusting your word in Malachi 3. And you said, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse, see if I won't test me and see if I won't do this for you. I will open the floodgates of heaven in your life. And so, Father, we don't do it necessarily for the floodgates. We do it because we love you. Here's your tithes and here's your offerings. Receive these in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are now approaching lunar sunrise. And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning second day. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sea. God saw that it was good.
I was talking to a teenage girl this week, and I said, what are you doing? And she looked at me. You ever say that to a kid? What are you doing? And you know what they always say? That's what she said to me. Nothing. And I stopped. I couldn't help myself. I had to stop. And I said, no, you're not doing nothing. If someone asks you that question, never answer that question with nothing. Because you're never doing nothing. You're always doing something. And she just looked at me with those eyes, and I couldn't let the moment go. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you're standing on planet Earth, and there's an axis. The Earth is rotating, and here in Michigan, the speed, because of our longitude, we're sitting in a place where we're spinning on an axis at 770 miles per hour right now. I said, we're also going around the Earth. We're traveling in orbit. I'm sorry, we're going around the sun in an orbit. We're traveling at 66,660 miles per hour around the sun. So when someone asks you the question, what are you doing? Don't say nothing. At least say rotating. And she just kind of walked away thinking, I'm never going to talk to him again. It's an amazing thought at this very hour, at this very moment, while you sit in your chairs, had it not been for gravity, you would sense that between the two polar caps, with the equator being the centrifuge of everything, it spins at the center point the fastest, because it's the greatest distance, and that's at a little over 1,000 miles per hour. But where we're at in Michigan, it's about 770 miles per hour. And right now, we're traveling through space at almost 70,000 miles per hour around the sun. Now, that's an interesting thing. You've probably never traveled that fast, but here we go. We are now traveling that fast on a daily basis, and you're aware of it. And someone says to me, how did it all happen? Well, I have an answer, Genesis 1:1. If we miss this part, we miss the entire idea of what life is all about. If you don't know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that moment is so important in Genesis 1:1. Because if God created the heavens and the earth, everything in life makes sense. Or the alternative, if God did not create the heavens and the earth, we're left to ask this question. What are you doing? Nothing. What happens in life? Nothing. What happens after life? Nothing. You can't answer that question with nothing. You're at least rotating. And let me explain what you're rotating on, because I believe that in the beginning, when we understand the God, that God says, I need you to understand the beginning of the story, creation of the four parts of this story. So when we look at Genesis and we look at this story, we say, yes, okay, God created. But I was told that there's other ideas out there, like a Big Bang, like there was this huge explosion. Don't all scientists teach and hold that there was a Big Bang? No, all scientists don't teach that. In fact, zero scientists can teach that. They can teach a theory that something might have happened. That's a theory. Now, a theory is something of conjecture without fact. That's what makes it a theory. So here it is. Well, you're saying in the beginning God created. I'm not saying that's even a theory. I'm not saying it's a fact. I'm saying it's the Word of God, and I put my faith in the Word of God, and so because of that, it makes my faith a fact. So because I believe that, I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I love science. I didn't like it in school. I didn't go much to my science class. In fact, I knew where the building was. I just never made it there on a daily basis. But something happened when I became a Christian. I really wanted to know where I came from. And so I started reading my kids' books when they brought them home and said, Dad, I have a question in science. And I couldn't answer those questions. So I began doing research. I think God made me a smarter person. And one day my sophomore came home and he says, Dad, I need to borrow your watch. I said, what do you need my watch for? He said, because I have a science experiment. We had an argument in class today. I said, what was your argument? He said, well, the argument went this way. Somebody stood up and said, there was a great explosion called the Big Bang that happened 3 billion years ago, or 5 billion years ago. I said, well, was it 3 or was it 5? Because you're kind of missing a lot between those 2 billion years. Well, they said the fact is that there was a big explosion sometime between those 3 and 5 billion years. And when that happened, all matter was drawn together in a huge energy pool that created land and primordial soup eventually, and then an amoeba, and then it multiplied and so forth and so on. And I said, well, what seems to be the problem? He says, well, I stood up and said, excuse me, in the beginning, God created everything. There wasn't an explosion, and none of that is true. And we had an argument. And the teacher said, fine, would you like to lead the class? You can take over. And he said, okay. I need your watch. And I said, for what? And he says, and I need a firecracker. And I said, for what? He says, I'm going to do something that a guy by the name of William Paley in 1743 came up with, this concept, with a little pocket watch. And with the, and it wasn't as technical as my $10 watch I've had for about 12 years. But the idea was, William Paley said, you're walking along and out in a field, you find this watch. You look at that watch and you say, I wonder where that watch came from. I wonder how it got here. It must have just randomly appeared. And he said, looking at that watch, and as you stand and you look and you don't see anyone around, you're out in a field all by yourself, William Paley said, therefore I would conclude by any kind of logic, there must be a watchmaker. He said, therefore, when I look around at everything that there is, there must be a designer because there is a design in everything. And so my son said, I'd like to do this. I said, you need a firecracker? He says, yeah, Dad, I'm gonna blow up your watch. I said, you have permission to do this? He said, yes. I said, okay, go ahead. I said, let me find an old watch. So he got an old watch. He took all the pieces apart, one by one. He took the face off. He took the dials. He took the band. He took the springs and the battery. And he took them. He put them in a little Tupperware tray. He took it into class, and he says, here is what is the theory of the Big Bang. And he put it in there, and he lit a firecracker. He put it into the thing. He covered it up, and boom, it went off. Pre-9/11. As it went off in class, he said, ta-da, and he held it. He says, oh, it doesn't work. Maybe I should try it again and again and again and again. And he went over to the chalkboard with his friend, and they concocted this idea, and they wrote, chaos does not equal order. Explosions equal chaos. Chaos does not equal order. You cannot get something to be fixed when you blow it up. You get chaos and rubble and destruction. That's the law of thermodynamics. And everybody sitting in class goes, wow. And he says, the law of thermodynamics, number one, the first law of thermodynamics says this, energy is neither created nor destroyed. So my only question is, how did we create the energy and where did the matter come from? Where did the second hand and the first hand and the third hand and the watch and the battery and the glass piece ever come from to even explode in the first place? Because energy, according to science, cannot be created nor destroyed. Law number two of the two laws of thermodynamics. Energy does not ever disappear. It just goes into randomness. It's called entropy. Entropy is this. Entropy says that everything is winding down. Trust me, as you get older, look in the mirror. Everything is winding down. You get the killer bees. The bunions, the baldness, the blindness, all the killer bees started. No matter how many meds we take, no matter how many times we work out at the gym, guess what? Gravity and entropy and the second law of thermodynamics. And here's a law. A law says it's true no matter who or where or what you are. It always is true. And so they're trying to have textbooks and teach. And so my son says, I'm not trying to say anything different than science has already said. A Big Bang is impossible to create a watch. And a single cell in a human being is more complex than any computer that can ever be invented in a single cell in a human body. Therefore, I conclude that because there is a watch, there is a watchmaker, and because there is a creation, there is a creator, and his name is God. Not bad for a teacher in sophomore year. And they said, where'd you get that? And they said, my dad. It's like, that a boy. Thanks for giving me credit, because I didn't do it. Colossians 1:17. This is a beautiful scripture. Colossians 1:17, the Apostle Paul says that God Because here's the question. If there is a Big Bang, by the way, can I tell you something? If you drive your car at 95 miles an hour through Detroit, I was down there this week, and I was just trying to keep up with the flow of traffic. I backed off my speedometer because I was on 696, and I was just trying to go to get my wife to her appointment. And as I'm going along, I was doing 85 and kind of going, this is a little fast. And cars were flying by. I just didn't want to get rear-ended. And I could have gone faster to go with the flow. You're on a planet that's doing 66,000 miles an hour throughout a space on a Big Bang that has nobody driving because there's no creator. It's all a giant accident. Who is driving this thing and who's holding it together? You have over 2 billion cells right now in your body, and every one of them has a name, and every single one knows exactly where to go. The ones for the heart go to the heart. The one for the cerebellum goes to the cerebellum. The cerebral cortex has those. The nerve ending down the spine has every one in its column, and they know exactly where to go. Who's in charge of those 2 billion cells? And who keeps them? Well, here's who. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Oh, I tell you what, I feel so good this morning. I was driving here, my car wasn't going to float off into another planet. No wonder my daughter's heart was pounding in her chest, because it was pounding because she knows the one that holds her heart in his hands, in the palm of his hands, the God of this universe that can put up 50,000 galaxies in the palm of his hand, was holding my daughter's heart this morning saying, Abigail, I love you and I can't wait to show you your new house. And this little girl knew fully well everything about that. So there's a watch. There must be a watchmaker. You know, God shows himself in the smallest ways and in the greatest ways. Romans tells us in chapter 1, verse 20, I told him 22. That's not right, Bob. That's my apology. It's Romans 1:20. And I love this. Paul is arguing. He's saying, folks, how many textbooks? You think evolution's brand new? I'm sorry. Charles Darwin, when he went to the Galapagos Islands, he dropped out of Bible college, went on a ship because he was confused about his faith, and wrote a book called The Natural Selection, okay? The Selection of the Species, which dealt with, the natural selections. Listen, he just simply wrote what he thought he knew. But that wasn't anything new. Paul was dealing with this 2,000 years ago. And you know what he said? He said, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen from what has been made, understood from what has been made, so that men are, look at this, without excuse. We know, you know, wake up in the morning. I tell you what, I love this morning waking up and seeing those beautiful dark clouds, 55 degrees, well, 45 degrees, or whatever degrees it was. Men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. That word is just ridiculous. A waste. What are you doing? Nothing. The word futile can be translated nothing. Listen, folks, don't be caught saying nothing. And their foolish hearts were darkened. We'll leave it at that. Can I show you something? God shows himself in everything. The designer is showing himself the design through what he's made. I'm going to show you a picture, and I've shown this before. Do you know how every cell in your body knows how to go? There's a coating around your every cell in your body. It's called laminin. It communicates with the other cells. Laminin talks to itself. Those of you that are in nursing school, this will be a bonus for you. You probably knew this long before I ever discovered this. But laminin is a coating that goes around that cell. And what it does is it says to the other one, here, I'm going over here and you go over here. And it knows it's an amazing, complex communication and battery's not even needed. Seriously, to keep this thing going, it's amazing. It just needs some M&Ms and pizza. Right down here, get your quota. Can I show you a picture of when it says God holds all things together? You see, in your body, God has put his stamp to show you the creator is there. Can I show you the watchmaker, what he's done inside of you? This is a picture of laminin. This is an actual laminin taken under a microscope. It's the black part there, the main part. It's in the shape of a cross. That's what's inside of every cell in your body. God has shown himself in the smallest of ways. How can we miss that? That God wants to reveal himself, the watch and the watchmaker. Now, let me show you in the largest of ways. That's the smallest. Let's go to the next picture. Hold on to the next one. In the galaxy, we live in the Milky Way. There's another galaxy that we can see. There's two that you can see with a pair of binoculars. The second one is called the Whirlpool Galaxy. It was discovered back in the 1500s. And a guy named it after himself. We call it, scientists today call it the Whirlpool Galaxy. It is the Cadillac of galaxies. It's one of the most beautiful of galaxies. Let me tell you, I had to do a little bit of research. It doesn't take long to find out. From Earth, it's 23 million light years away. Well, how far is that? I looked up a light year. I didn't know how far a light year was. Here's what a light year is. 1 light year is 5,885,696,000,000 years away. That's 1 light year. This galaxy is 23 million light years away. It is 38,000 light years across. Now you take 38,000 and you multiply that by 5,885,000,000,000, and that's how long it would take you to walk from one side to the other. Come back in January and you'll find out what you'll get to do in heaven. Because if it's going to take me that long just to walk across one galaxy, I got a lot to do. Because they've identified hundreds of thousands of galaxies just in our universe. And this is one, and you can see it when you go outside. You know what they found? They took the Hubble telescope. Listen, you can take binoculars and see it, but they took a Hubble telescope and took a photograph of the center of the Whirlpool, the Cadillac Galaxy that we can see from planet Earth. Here's what they found in the middle. That was right in the middle of it. They call it two black rings that make this shape. Wow, it's the cross again. And I walked along in a field and I found a watch and said, it must have exploded and gotten here. No, it must have had a watchmaker. We look in the galaxy and some of the largest things you can find, and there is God. You look inside of man, outer space and inner space, and you will find God. There is a watchmaker. There is a designer. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all of this to say one thing. Because I know there's someone at the driver's wheel, because I know there is a maker and he knows me and he's numbered the hairs of my head, here's what I know, that every day I wake up, I have a purpose and my God is in control of my life. The whole message today is this. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God made this day for you and me. And you know what I love about this day? He gave it purpose. The very fact that God even made this day, he made it, and I have two choices. I can say this day is an accident and do nothing. Or I can wake up today and say this day is created by God, and he made this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. What did he make this day for? I said to my daughter, look in the sky as we were driving, and she said, why? I said, you'll never see this day ever again. She said, why? I said, because you will never see this day again. Do you know why you and I go through what we go through? God could have made every day the same. Groundhog Day. You and I could have been like that old movie with Bill Murray, who wakes up and every day is the exact same thing. And what does he do in the movie? He becomes so depressed that life will never change, that there'll never be a new sunrise, that there'll never be a new human being, that there'll be nothing new. And he can't get the woman that he likes to love him. He can never change. And so he gets so depressed because the day is the same day that he tries to commit suicide. And can I tell you, if life has no meaning, there is no meaning. No wonder why so many humans are depressed. But my Bible says, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20 through 23, it says, his mercies are new every day. Do you know when I woke up this morning, God just reminded me of one thing. He reminded me, today's a brand new day. I can do anything I want with it. Today is, I can, as T.D. Jakes says, T.D. Jakes, a great preacher, says, you cannot have a new season while holding on to an old mindset. I love the seasons. People curse the seasons. People get up and they say, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Or I hate Mondays. It's Monday. Oh, hump day, Wednesday. Oh, let's get over the hump. And I say, I'm so glad it's Monday. I'm so glad it's Wednesday. I'm so glad it's Friday. I'm so glad it's today. Because when I wake up in the morning, here's the way I look at it. I wake up in the morning. I thank God this is the day he has made. I will rejoice. Here it is. Today will never be like anything that's ever happened before. Every conversation and every human being will never walk in the same place. The sky will never be the same. The leaves change. The snow's coming. The spring will be on the way. Summer will be here again and another season. Some of you, you're holding on to some things in your past. You think, I'm always the same person and I will always be the same person. Listen, when you wake up in the morning and the temperature's 45 degrees and you said, what happened to 80? Be reminded of this, that the Bible says, his mercies are new every day. Today, God's mercy is new for you. I don't care what I did yesterday. I wake up in the morning and I think, God, I'm so thankful that today is a new day. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me that I can start over. I might have messed up yesterday. I might not have had it together yesterday. My business may have fell apart yesterday. I may have messed up with my family and said something I didn't mean. But you know what? I can wake up today and I can do anything I want. I can wake up today and say to my wife, I love you with all of my heart. Yesterday, I was the biggest jerk in the world. But you know what? Today's a brand new day. His mercies are new today. I could have had everything fall apart yesterday with all my ideas and dreams, and I can wake up today and God says, what dream do you want to have today? Isn't that great? I don't know about you. I call it process. See, I could snap my fingers and I could live on my magic carpet and God could be my genie. And people say to me, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Here's why he doesn't answer your prayer with everything that you say with a yes. Because if God said yes to everything that you asked for, do you know what we'd be doing? We'd be just lying back on a carpet, just snapping our fingers. He'd give us grapes, new cars, new jobs, health. We'd never have anything. Where would the need of compassion be to go visit the hospital or bring food to a funeral home? Where would the sense of praying with someone and weeping? Where would the sense of pounding in the chest of my daughter have ever been that statement? Where would the sense, if every day was 80 degrees and the sun shining, the idea of leaves turning into incredible hues of yellow and crimson red and oranges? Where would the idea of getting a rake out and having to pick up all those leaves? You curse pain and you curse sickness and you curse life and Mondays. I say embrace it. It's process. It reminds me that God's mercies are new every day. It reminds me of his incredible love for me, that he created and brushstrokes says, Mitch, as much as I love you, and you've been alive for 48 years, tomorrow will be unlike any of those 48 years you've ever lived. What do you want to do today? I want to build a haunted house that's 3 stories. What do you want to do today? I want to go to Africa and build a school for 35 girls who've been thrown away. What do you want to do today? I want to feed 7,000 people in Port Huron and give 1,000 kids new toys and say, God loves you. What do you want to do today? I don't know. What can I do? And God looks at me and says, Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through me. What can I do today? It's snowing. Make a snowman. What can I do today? It's snowing. Crash your car. You aren't going to be in control. What am I going to do today? Get a new car. I can do anything. God gives us new beginnings. Have you gotten this idea? In the beginning, God created. Do you know what the word Genesis means? The first book of the Bible, the beginning of this 4-part story. Genesis means, literally translated, new beginnings. That's the Hebrew word. You read Genesis, or you tried to, and somewhere around chapter 2, you quit. I talk to people, have you read the Bible? Yeah, I read it. In the beginning, God created that thing. Read the Bible. That very first book means you get a new start every day. Let me close with this. No wonder why when Peter came up to Jesus, he says, you know, I'm about sick and tired of being sick and tired. What's going on, Pete? You don't seem like yourself. And Pete says, I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Peter, what's going on. Now, we don't get the whole story. I'm between the lines right now, okay? Go with me. This is the preacher's interpretation. I'm so tired of... They just don't get it. They irritate me. They're on my nerves. How many times do I have to say, I forgive you? And Jesus looks and he says, Pete, 70 times 7 a day. I could just see Peter going, 490 times a day. Boy, if they hit 491, we're through. I'm telling you, nobody has done 490 times a day. The same thing over and over. And God says, let me show you something about who I am. You've seen me in the universe. You've seen me inside. I have created all things. And I want you to know, tomorrow when you wake up, the leaves might come down or the sun might burn you. It might be 85 degrees. It could snow. It might rain. I don't know. I'm just going to show you. My mercies are new every day. And every day you wake up and the day is different, it shows me this. I can start over today. God, you love me that much in the beginning. So guess what I'm going to do tomorrow? I don't know. But I'm not going to do nothing. Because this is the day that God has made. I know this, when I wake up, I will rejoice and I will be glad. Because he's given me life. He's given me a family. One day that family won't be here. But you know what? I talked to a gentleman this week. I buried his wife. He says, I had a hard time packing her stuff up. I said, yeah, but you know, Bob, he gave you life. He could have not. And you wouldn't even have that heartache and that pain. But he's given you life, and I love you. I want you to know I love you. I'm glad you're here. You've been a blessing in my life. This is the day the Lord has made, you know. And as hard as it is, let us rejoice. For sorrow may last for a night, but joy does come in the morning. And my daughter said, 80 or 90 more years, I can't wait. I get to go to heaven. 5 years, 80 years, it doesn't matter. Where will you spend eternity? You will spend it. You might as well invest now, because it will pay off later. Let's stand and pray together. Has the word been good to you today? God is good. Father in heaven, we rejoice in who you are. We rejoice in the idea that today is a brand new day and we can start over no matter what happened yesterday. So, Father, our benediction is this. His mercies are new every day. And because of that, he sustains me, as the Lamentation writer wrote. Lamentation, to cry, the crying book of the Bible. Weeping. And yet he said, his mercies are new every day. May your mercies go with us and keep us. Keep us in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and oh, in that loving name of the Holy Spirit who dwells with us. And everyone said, have a great week.